Thank you for listening to this message from Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. It is our prayer that God would speak to you in a real way through His Word. To learn more about our ministry, or to connect with us, go to www.gcnaz.church or search for Community Naz on Facebook. Now, let's dive into God's Word today.
When I was a kid, I thought that the best part of Christmas came on Christmas morning, with all the presents, cinnamon rolls, and wrapping paper flying everywhere. But as I've gotten older, I've come to love the days that follow Christmas just as much. Close down, and there's space and time to reflect on what it all means. I remember one year reading a library book to my younger siblings. It was a book about a boy who was tending the animals on that night that Jesus was born. The illustrations were beautiful and captured the moment with awe and wonder as the stable boy felt that night. As the little boy watched, the shepherds came and knelt and worshiped Jesus. Then the wise men came and brought the little boy their gifts. In the book, there were only a few words, and they were part of a poem. What can I give him, as poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. I remember thinking, what can I give to Jesus? Because at that time, there was stress both financially and emotionally from circumstances that I couldn't feel and that I could feel but didn't even understand. There wasn't money for presents some years, and I could sense tension in the air. And I didn't have all the answers. I didn't know what I could do to fix possibly give to Jesus that Christmas. Had I worshipped him? Had I given him my heart, my affection, my best? And that question brings us to the story of the wise men, the Magi. Their journey didn't end on Christmas morning. In fact, it likely began long before Jesus was born and would continue long after. Their story reminds us that the rhythm of Christmas doesn't stop at the manger. It moves us to seek, to follow, and ultimately to worship. Over the last 5 weeks, we have been listening to the rhythm of Christmas. We heard Mary's song of surrender and praise, Zechariah's song of proclamation after silence, and Joseph's lullaby of quiet trust when life didn't go as planned. The shepherds had a joyful witness in the middle of the night, and on Christmas Eve, we stood in awe of the light of the world, Jesus, who stepped down into our darkness. But now the question is, what will we do with all of that? What happens after Christmas? This is where the wise men come in. And their story reminds us that the rhythm of Christmas leads us not just to celebrate, but to worship. Not just to receive, but to give. Not just to admire him as the gift, but to bow before him as king. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And the story begins like this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." The Magi were not Jewish. They were likely astrologers from Babylon or Persia. They were outsiders, foreigners, Gentiles. They studied the skies and the ancient writings and the movement of the kings and the kingdoms, and they were often advisors to the king and to the rulers. They were highly respected, and when they saw a sign in the sky, they set out on a journey to find the king. When they set out, they really didn't know what they would find. They likely had some knowledge of the Jewish writings and the prophecies and the hope of the coming Messiah. They didn't know exactly where they were going. They didn't have all of the answers. They had pieces of the truth and of the history and a star and a desire to worship this newborn king. Sometimes our faith doesn't begin with us having all of the answers. It begins with us trusting the light that God has already given us and taking a step to start the journey. Let's look at what happened next in verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Messiah? Where was the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." When they arrived in Jerusalem, the wise men asked King Herod where the child was. Herod, of course, is disturbed. He isn't interested in worshiping a new king. He is threatened by him. The religious leaders, they were kind of indifferent. They knew the prophecy and they knew the location, but they were not willing to make the journey to seek the king. But the Magi press on. In verses 9 and 10, it says, "After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed." And then comes the moment of worship. In verse 11, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." The wise men didn't come to get, they came to give. They didn't come to be seen, they came to bow. They didn't come just to admire Jesus, they came to worship Jesus. And then, after encountering the king, they went home a different way, both literally and spiritually. So what about you? What will you do now that Christmas Day has passed? Will you pack up all of the decorations and move on? And Christmas Day will just be another Christmas in the past? The reason for the season was forgotten? Or will you, like the Magi, continue on the journey? The rhythm of Christmas doesn't end with a baby Jesus in the manger. It leads us to a king who is worthy of our worship, a king who invites us to give him our best, our hearts, our time, and our gifts, and our lives. Maybe this past month you have been inspired by Mary's surrender, by Zechariah's proclamation, by Joseph's quiet trust, the shepherd's joy, and the light that broke into the darkness. But now comes the next step. Will you worship? I don't just mean singing songs, I mean offering him your life, choosing to follow the star, even if the road is long or hard, choosing to give him your treasure, your time, your trust, and your heart. The Magi remind us that seeking Jesus is worth it. Worshiping him is worth it. And giving to him is worth it. So what will you bring to the king this year? As we close out this Advent series and this season, let us remember that the rhythm of Christmas isn't just a season, it's a way of life. It begins with surrender, moves through silence and trust, and it bursts forth in joy and light. And it leads us to worship. Like the wise men, let's follow the light. Let's seek the King. Let's bow in wonder and give Him our best. Because the rhythm of Christmas leads us to worship the King who is still worthy. May worship be our rhythm, not just in December, but in every season, in every month, in every day, in every moment. Let it begin with me, let it begin with you, and let it begin with us.